Respect the bell.
Welcome back. Final segment of Crunch Time on a Wednesday. That means time for the Crunch Exchange, brought to you by Gary Jordan, financial advisor with Ameriprise Financial Services. When you have the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Office is located 2260 Oakmont Way in Eugene, 541-484-2444. I'm playing hurt today, Steve, but we're going to get through this Crunch Exchange, darn it.
By gum.
Crunch Exchange, of course. I'm going to give Steve some stories from around the world of sports, ask him a prospectus from those stories, and he's going to tell us if he's buying or selling.
God,
there is also
people.
An option for pending. The Packers are getting back Aaron Rodgers this week from a broken collarbone he suffered against Minnesota 2 months ago. And unlike Justin Herbert's collarbone injury, which was a fracture, this one, a full-on break of the bone. Herbert took 2 months to come back, so we all thought Rodgers might be done. Apparently not. But it might be too late for their playoff hopes. But also, maybe not. One full game back of Atlanta for that final wildcard spot with 3 weeks to go. And those three games only happen to be against Carolina, Minnesota, and Detroit. A combined 26-13 this year. Minnesota, the runaway winners of their division. So the prospectus, Aaron Rodgers' return means the Pack will make the playoffs.
Wow.
He's pretty good at football, by the way.
Coming back, they've really got to win all three games. That's a pretty tall order. They've got other issues. I'm actually kind of rooting for him, but I'm going to sell that one.
Another big-time injury that happened this week was, of course, to Carson Wentz. Torn ACL, done for the year. Likely done for a portion of next year as well because of when it happened. Some are saying recovery time could be anywhere from 9 to 12 months for the injury. Yikes. LeBron James, of all people, asked about Wentz this week, said he thinks Wentz should still be the MVP despite the injury. He had been the front-runner when the injury happened, but with 3 weeks to go, could open the door for guys like Antonio Brown, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, and, of course, Jimmy Garoppolo, who doesn't lose games ever. So what do you think, Steve? The prospectus. You buy or sell that Carson Wentz should still be the NFL's MVP this year?
13 games, already won the division, has him in a position for a bye, got hurt. I always think back to 1980. George Brett played like 110 games, was still the MVP. I thought he was going to cruise to the MVP title. I'm actually going to buy that.
Oregon football hired from within last Friday, deciding to keep Mario Cristobal as their head coach. First ever Cuban-American college football head coach, has mad street cred, getting a shout out from The Rock and getting an endorsement from Nick Saban. Honestly, might not get bigger than those two guys in our world. Some have come forward and said that Oregon could actually end up being better off with Cristobal as head coach over Willie Taggart, despite Taggart's number one recruiting class and the notion that Jim Levitt could leave with Taggart to Florida State. Players petitioned to get Cristobal hired. He won Recruiter of the Year in 2015. He has a lot of things going for him. But the prospectus, Oregon is better off with Cristobal as head coach over Taggart.
Wow, that's a bird in the hand worth two in the bush. Taggart turned it around by hiring a great staff.
Including Cristobal.
Right, and getting a healthy Justin Herbert for 5 than 2 games, but that seems like an awful homery view of things. So I'm hoping I'm wrong, but I'm gonna sell that.
Well, seeing as Oregon is playing Boise City in Vegas, I suppose we should get in a question about the action on the game. Oregon opened a 5-point favorite over the Broncos, despite Boise City having their number in every way historically. 2-0 in their only two games on the gridiron, ending the 46-game win streak in basketball. Clearly, if Oregon has a weak spot, that weak spot is the Broncos. Oregon could be without Royce Freeman and Tyrell Crosby for the game. Both have practiced this week, including today, but both have big-time NFL decisions to make in the next day or so. And if they don't play, that means the best tackle in the Pac-12 statistically and the best running back in Oregon history statistically will be out. Then again, they could play. And in the end, Boise State is 10-3 and winners of the Mountain West versus Oregon, 7-5, fourth place in the Pac-12 North. So the prospectus, you buy or sell Oregon as a favorite on Saturday.
First of all, it looks like Crosby said he's going to play. He was actually talking about playing.
Freeman did practice today.
Yeah. Right. He has been noticeably mum. It's Boise State. There's such pains in the ass. Oregon, BSU, I wouldn't bet Oregon in this game with your money. It's just a jinx. They're a thorn in the side and a pain in the rear end, so I'm going to sell that.
I love it. Marcus Mariota has had a bad year, Steve. No way around it. He's 26th in the NFL in value per play, right ahead of Brian Hoyer, right behind Eli Manning. But reports today say there's a reason. He has a new injury. A hamstring injury this year, but broken ankle he suffered last year is apparently lingering for him as well and will likely require cleanup surgery in the offseason, so he's been hampered. But Tennessee's offense has been bad all around, and many are laying the blame on the head coach. Mike Mularkey and Terry Robiskie's offense has been called vanilla, and that is actually being nice to it. Lots of runs up the middle, lots of boring pocket passes, pretty much perfectly tailored to Mariota's style of play. Obviously, I'm being sarcastic there. So why does the Titans' offense continue to stagnate? The prospectus: Mike Mularkey is at fault for the Titans' offensive struggles, not Marcus Mariota.
Wow. What if I really think it's a combination, because he's thrown more interceptions than touchdowns.
You have to make a choice.
I've got to make a choice. Can't I blame Robiskie? Because
okay, so I feel like Robiskie is in the Mike Mularkey circle.
All right. They drafted two receivers and a tight end among their first four picks and haven't really gotten them involved a lot. It's still Rashard Matthews, Delanie Walker, Eric Decker. So, I just feel like a lot of factors have combined to see a dip in the productivity, and I don't want to get punched on the street, so I'm going to blame the coaches by that.
Derek, speaking of getting punched, Derek Jeter has had an eventful winter meetings period with the Marlins. In a matter of 1 week, he has traded every good player the Marlins have ever had. In all seriousness, that isn't far off. Dee Gordon, Giancarlo Stanton, they're reportedly looking to trade Christian Yelich, and today traded away Marcell Ozuna. And I defy you to name anything of worth that the Marlins got in return beyond Starlin Castro, who you probably only know because he was a Yankee. Some have said Jeets is playing Yankees sleeper agent, which is obviously ridiculous, but he has clearly done a ton of damage to the Marlins fan base, which already only consisted of about a dozen or so people who happen to live by the stadium. Super agent Scott Boras said this week that we've seen one of our major league jewelry stores become a pawn shop when describing Derek Jeter. Ouch. The prospectus: Derek Jeter is in over his head in Miami.
Well, this is another one that could change. But right now, he's not handling anything right with the dismissal of some employees. One was in the hospital after colon cancer surgery. He got rid of Jeff Conine and Tony Perez and some kind of legendary people within the organization. It's early. I've actually nominated him for the tool shed.
Nice.
But I'm gonna play the pending card here.
Ted, my boy, it's going to be legend. Wait for it.